Hello and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast. Jody, you had some heat for the guys this week. Some of the Man United boys that were putting pressure on you. You were letting off this week, yeah? You weren't happy with some of the comments they were making on you, like, about
just the usual. I can just,
what are they saying, man?
Let me tell you what my issue is. Whenever there isn't anyone to cape up for Liverpool, they talk so much grease because they know they can get away with it. Which is fine. That's fine. That's okay. But I really have a problem when the Spurs fans come on talking that grease, talking about infrastructure, talking about our stadium. When we have one of the best main stands in the country talking about how crappy it is, I wouldn't talk. If I was a Spurs fan, there's a reason why you're moving out. Shite Hart Lane? Is a reason
do you want to hear a story about Spurs?
Very briefly. Go
into White Hart Lane and go into the ladies' toilet. Their stadium was so old, it didn't have a lady sign on it. It had a piece of A4 paper where it had been written on and stuck on the door.
I don't know the guy's name
and the apologies, I don't know your name, so I can actually reference you properly. But once I find out what your name is, if you ever speak on the team bigger than you, you know, we're going to have some problems. Akin, know your role. Gabe, you know I'm coming for you in the group anyway, so it is what it is.
It was a good pod. Enjoy it.
And it was just such a whimper. I can deal with losing, but losing that like that, and particularly to Arsenal, it definitely has taken a bit of the shine off the scene.
I think FIFA are in a difficult position in terms of punishment because they've had such a lax attitude to punishment for things that are far more serious crimes than wearing a poppy.
And the culture that he's currently instilled in that side is one where it's okay to lose.
I read something today that said Wolves have scored more goals against the Premier League top six than Man United have.
Hello everybody and welcome to the third Football Fans Podcast of this new season. Football is back. My name is Jordan, your host. This is the podcast you know by now that gives it to you straight, honest opinions, straight up. Social media guys, you know how we do by now. If you're not following us on social media by now, make sure you do. Football Fans Podcast, FFP_11. We are now on Instagram, Football Fans Podcast. We now have a Facebook page we started as well. So join us and follow us on all the social media outlets as well. Let us know if you agree with the guys, any comments, any responses, and I will put them to the guys as and when they are on the pod. This week on the FFP, I'm joined by Arsenal fan, Natasha. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Good summer?
Yeah, I kind of stepped away from all the transfer speculation and drama. So yeah, it was a nice summer.
Yeah, I think it was difficult for me because I was working during the summer to avoid the transfer nonsense. But it's glad to know that you kind of avoided all the nonsense.
Yeah.
Happy days. We have two Liverpool fans on the FFP this week. I'm joined first of all by Marcus. What's going on?
Not too much.
Well,
good summer, man. My summer's been quite relaxed, to be honest. Started my new job today after about 3 weeks off work.
Okay.
So that was a bit of a shock to the system this morning.
How was your first day?
Obviously, you know, the first day you kind of just go in and you know you ain't got to do no work. But when I was realizing the level of work I'm going to be having to do, I was like, okay.
No lunch break today for me.
Yeah. No, I still had one, you know. Man, don't miss lunch, bruv. You think this is...
I'm also joined by Jody. Talk to me. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Nothing much. It's a pretty simple summer as a dad. It's been daddy-daughter's summer.
Okay.
So, you know, pretty cool. I'm massively tired. I think I've grown a couple strands of grey hair. From running around and waking up early, but other than that, I'm fine.
You look fine. We got your nice rum there, so we can perk you up during the show. Let's get into it, guys. Let's get into some very brief drive-bys. Gonna begin with you, Marcus. Which of these three managers I'm about to name do you think is most likely to be sacked first? Okay, I'll change that actually to not be in their position first.
All
so
right.
Sacked or resigned. Conte, De Boer, Rafa Benitez.
Well, now that you changed the question, I don't know, because I've been, you know, hearing all the rumours about Rafa like grumbling, he ain't getting no signing, so he might want to leave. And obviously, you know, he can go wherever he wants, to be honest. There's plenty of clubs that have Rafa.
You think?
Yeah, definitely. He's still got a decent reputation. Like, he ain't tarnished it up. So, you know, he's got things going in his favour, and he's just got a team promoted. So, you know, it's all looking good on his resume right now, and he knows that. So, if he ain't getting what he wants from the club, then he might maximise his opportunity while it's there, because end of the day, if you look at the squad they've got right now, probably not going to be a good season. Yeah? And that's not going to look good on his resume. So now is the time, right?
Now before
so
it gets bad.
I guess if I was going to like be putting money on it, I would say he might be the first one to leave. But if you're talking about who's going to get like moved on first, I don't think Frank De Boer's in too much trouble at the moment.
You'll get a bit more time, yeah?
Yeah.
So of the three, who do you think would not be in their post?
Where?
Out of the three.
See, it sounds mad, but you know how it is at Chelsea, bruv. You know how it don't matter that you won the league, bruv. No one cares.
It's a madhouse.
No one cares, bruv. You don't care. What's going on? You know what I mean? Where's White? White has our player. People just start, where's Costa gone? You know what I mean? He could have been training. We could have worked this out. Like, he's just going to get all the blame for everything that goes wrong here. Yeah? Yeah. And even if, I don't think they're going to have that terrible season like what they had before, but they're not going to do as well as they did last season because the other teams have improved, He's just going to get all the negativity for that, and Abramovich don't play that.
He's not going to have it.
He's going to be like, Rafa's looking all right. You know what I mean?
You think you might poach him again?
Why not?
Could happen. So you're going with Conte of the three to go first?
Yeah, but obviously I'm thinking that, yeah, I guess Conte would have to get done first before my original move. Yeah, so yeah, Conte.
All right, okay. Tasha, for the newly promoted teams, all three teams, Brighton, Huddersfield and Newcastle, ideally you want both of these two scenarios, but which of these two do you think is more important? A really, really good start or a really, really good finish?
Good start, hands down.
Go on.
I think we've seen over the past few seasons the teams that stay up promoted or the back end of the league teams, it's because they picked up their points in the first half of the season. Bournemouth, again, last season did it and then dropped off when they couldn't score. I think if you're searching for points when you've got 10 games left, there's a lot more pressure. If you draw against someone after the third game, it's not as stressful as if you've only got 3 games left. So I think if you can get as many points, 25, 30 points before Christmas, then you can kind of go into the second half of the season thinking, okay, we've only got 10, we've only got 15 to get, and that might be 1 point a game on average, which is a lot more realistic. You've got to remember, if you're one of the unlucky clubs that are playing, say, 4 of the last season's top 6 in your last 10 games, you're not looking to pick up points then, so you need to get them early because they're going to be fighting for stuff as well. They're going to be going hard.
Fair, fair. Jody, who do you think had the best debut over the weekend? First weekend of the Prem's back. Of these strikers, Morata, Lacazette, Lukaku, Salah.
I'm going to go with Lukaku. I'm upset I'm having to say this, but
I can see it. Yeah.
He's coming, his fit straight in. You know, he's very decent in the box, and you know any chance he gets, he's going to put it away anyways. So he's coming, he's banged in his 2 goals, taking the only decent chances he's had in on goal, and he's put it away. Closely behind, I'd say Salah, just because he is a winger, you know, and he's a Liverpool player. So, but I'd say all in all, Lukaku, not easy to score a whole bunch of goals playing under Jose, but I think Jose's kind of, we'll probably get the most out of him in his little rigid construct that he's got for United this season. But all in all, Lukaku definitely.
Okay, cool. We did do a preview of all 20 clubs in the last 2 pods over the last couple of weeks, and Liverpool has been done. But as I do have 2 Liverpool fans for the first time this season on the pod, I will just very briefly get you guys' views on your team and your season. Drew, your first game 3-3 away at Watford. Jody, what are your predictions for your club this season?
This season, this is on the premise that we actually go through and make some decent signings with 3 weeks left.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Yeah, it's the 14th
today. Isn't it? Oh, good grief. So, if we go ahead and we pull a, you know, rabbit out the hat, and we bring in some decent players, we bring in a decent centre back, a decent midfield, and
so let's get to it. There's the next 2 weeks and what you do business wise.
Yeah. So the next 2 weeks. Now, I think regardless of Coutinho, in my opinion, if we buy right within the next 2 weeks, we easily clean up on top four. It's not really a target that we should be aiming for because we should be improving off of the previous season. But with the attack that we have, you're not really going to be able to stop us. I envisage that we make another quick start to the season, and where we dropped off because of AFCON and injuries and not really having enough pace down the flanks, we've addressed that. So if we add a decent defence and work on a defence, it'll pretty much be the same as the previous season, slapping teams around. And we've sort of somehow, just via watching the Watford game, teams that defend a little bit deep and hold that shape, we somehow have figured out how to get in behind the defences just by spreading play a lot more quicker and stretching out our wingers on the side. So I envisage we'll probably make top four a lot easier than most suspect.
Okay. Marcus, Coutinho, what would you do if you were in charge? He's handed a transfer request, so he wants to go. Barca put in two bids that have been rejected by your club. Do you take 110 million and try and reinvest that now, or do you keep him for fear of the consequences of losing him?
To be honest, for me, it all depends on the circumstances surrounding him handing in the transfer request. Like, if he's adamant, like, I want to go to Barca, you know, I don't want to miss my chance and all the rest of it, his heart ain't really going to be in the team. He ain't, even though he's a professional, you know, he's going to turn up and play and all the rest of it. He might not play the same. Like, you see it, like, I've heard professional footballers talk about that before, where the transfer they really wanted and it affects them. I mean, it can go the other way, you know. We all heard that De Gea wanted to go Real Madrid, didn't get to go, padded it up, didn't seem to affect him at all, you know. And that was a series, he had his misses there and everything. Like, it was like talking about a fax over a couple of minutes. So part of me thinks, nah bruv, you signed a contract, you know, there ain't no clause in there, your agent and whatnot knew what level of footballer you were, you could have inserted some kind of clause or asked for one and you didn't. So don't really, but at the same time I'm like, 110 mil, the profit is ridiculous. Man has never even played in Champions League, far as I'm aware.
Izzy's gonna ask the guys last week, is he actually, would he be as big a loss as a lot of people have made
that's
out?
That's the thing. The thing is, yeah, he's a quality player. Any team that sells him is gonna lose something. But we're in a slightly unique position that we've got quite a lot of players that play similar to him. We've got Leilana, we've got Firmino, yeah? And then you can even, like, move Amani and Salah around. So, you got a lot of players in and around that area that you could lose him. And if everyone's fit, it wouldn't make that much of an issue. I'm feeling like we're weaker in other areas. And the money you're going to get for him, you can strengthen them areas. But then, like what my man was saying about AFCON, it's just like, we bought a brother from Egypt, though. So, like, that's just doubly worse now. We're going to lose two wingers.
I don't think there's an African Cup of Nations for two seasons.
No, and it's going to be in the summer next time,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
so because the Premier League are always moaning, basically.
I think you might be right for the next couple of years.
They're
going to
play football in the summer in Africa.
Yeah.
That's the whole next pod, right? I suggested on last week on the pod that maybe you I don't know why you guys aren't going in for Mahrez. Is Mahrez a downgrade on Coutinho?
Mahrez is just, you know what, he ain't consistent, and for me he's too lightweight. Coutinho is way more consistent. Even in when games where he ain't getting the assist and he ain't getting the goal, yeah, like, he's usually passing well. Do you know what I mean? Not too many times have I seen Coutinho go completely anonymous in a match. The only time I really noticed that is, you know, when he first came back from injury, and a good like 3, 4, 5 games after he came back, he was looking a bit as like, who's this guy? You know, and then all of a sudden it started coming back, and like, I always notice him in games. Always, because players look for him. But I don't know, man. I think for the money they're offering, and if he really wants to go,
just get him go.
Can I ask the Liverpool fans a question?
Go on.
If you have to keep one, Mane or Coutinho?
Mane. Coutinho can go.
Mane. See, this is my thing. Like, I get why Liverpool fans love him. You know, he's very much that kind of attacking player that they like. But I'd be more interested in keeping Mane. I'd take 110 mil for Coutinho. You can get a decent young player. You can get someone who's a bit more experienced, and you still got Mane. Because you saw last season when he went to AFCON, you lot didn't even look like you got off the bus. You know, you were just walking into games losing before he'd. So why is everyone stressing so much about Coutinho?
And with that 110, 20 mil that might come in, you could get Van Dijk and Cresswell.
That's and what? Upgrade Mane's contract. Cresswell's a good player. Cresswell's a good player.
He's two levels up from what you've currently got.
I don't know where you go with Cresswell, but get that Van Dijk, man. That's what I was doing. Because, bruv, every time there's a set piece now, corner, free kick. The free kick don't even need to be that close to the goal anymore. I'm just like, oh, nah.
It's going
it's just ridiculous.
Jody, the boys on the pod last week suggested that they think if this season doesn't go well for Liverpool, there could be a serious rebellion against Klopp, and Klopp mania could seriously pop. Do you agree with that? And do you think he has to deliver this year or go? By deliver, I mean minimum top four and a cup. It's time.
I want to prefix my comments with the guys from last week, so because I heard the pod,
go on,
and I think was Gabriel on as well.
Gabriel's on last week, yeah.
He needs to shut up. Don't come back on the pod again. I'll see.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll see.
That's a call out and a half.
What he said.
I'll see Gabriel on the pod. I'm sorry, in the group chat. Akin, he knows I'm not happy with him. Anyways, so
tell us what they said.
No, they were just talking a whole bunch of grease, and then there was another guy. I think the Spurs fan who was trying to send for our main stand.
He was on last week. I don't remember
what his name. A Spurs fan should never speak on our stadium when we all know what White Hart Lane looks like. Anyways, I think they're the only stadium with peeling wallpaper and stuff in the actual stadium. So let me just prefix that.
All right.
So as far as Klopp, like I've said,
just for fairness, I will give those guys the right to reply.
Definitely. this will go back and forth like forth the whole like season. excuse me. As far as Klopp mania, if you follow me, you know that I gave him one full season. I know he came in around October, and then he took us to two finals, lost both of them, and I said his next season will be what I will judge him on, and his objectives. He got his objectives. Now, I'm not a sentimental kind of guy. I have no time for it. There's only one sentiment I ever shared, and that's with Rafa Benitez. We know why. Klopp, if he doesn't get his stuff together this season, I'm gonna be on his case, and you're gonna see me at games, you know, acting a fool. It's happened before. I've been caught on TV acting a fool, and you'll see me acting a fool during games. I don't have time for no more excuses. He had excuses when he didn't buy in January. It cost us a very, very good challenge, or potential two challenge, and not scrape top four.
Tell me earlier one that interested me. You said with the tack that we've got, top four should be easy.
Yeah.
So do you think you have? Where do you rank your attack of the top six teams?
I think our attack, if we're including Coutinho, but basically our attack, I don't think there's many teams that can hold us. I think we're probably behind City.
You think only City have got a better attack than you?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Okay. But other than that, I expect trophies, and that's what the name of the game is. I don't care about top four. I want trophies. I want silverware. Yeah. That's exactly what I want. And if Klopp's not picking that up, then I'll be very, very vocal. And I won't just start with Klopp. I'll start with FSG. That's where the buck stands. That's where it starts, and it starts from FSG. And if you have that winning mentality, that will trickle all the way down.
Okay.
So if we're not making the moves to put us in a position to win, and Klopp's not making the right decisions, please trust me, you'll see me your match of the day acting a fool.
Okay. And just finally, Marcus, Hoffenheim tomorrow, first leg of the qualifier of the Champions League. No Coutinho, no Lallana, and no Sturridge. If this goes wrong over two legs, where does that leave Jurgen Klopp?
Bro, I'm already upset, yeah, that when I heard about the qualifying match, it was a team I'd heard of. I was like,
we had to be a few top teams. Udinese one year, I think. Monaco.
But you know, normally it's just like some random Luxembourg brothers. I was like, wait. These men are all professionals.
That's
man.
Liverpool's luck, isn't it?
What's going on? Like these brothers.
Spursy in Liverpool, this. Actually.
You could clearly lose this early in the season as well. Are you mad? Nah, I'm not pleased.
But if he does, how bad would that be for Klopp?
It's going to look terrible. Like, the thing is, yeah, obviously, realistically, they're a decent team. The circumstances in the season, like, you could mess up and lose that, yeah? And it wouldn't be, like, you know, the worst loss in the club's history unless, you know, you get battered 9-0 or something. But fact of the matter is, you get, like, the whole point of your last season was qualifying for Champions League.
In 2 weeks.
If you get bonged out by some Hoffenheim that quick, you ain't living that down. No Liverpool fan could go walk around with his head held high for ages, man. We would literally have to go on like some 20 game unbeaten run before we could even run it up.
And even then, in one word, will you make top four?
Yes.
Natasha, will they make top four?
Yes.
Marcus, will you make top four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on now, guys. Let's talk about Mr. Danny Rose, which has interested me twofold. One as a journalist and secondly as a football fan. I'll start with you, Natasha. Was Danny Rose out of order? Just to be clear, I don't want any fencing on this one. I want clear he was right or he was wrong and explain why.
See, this is...
Don't try and justify the fencing.
Because really, it's not like I'm going to be nice deliberately. It's about Spurs, isn't it? But the thing is, it's what you define as out of order. So me personally, I can see both sides. I can see, you know, as an Arsenal fan, it's hilarious. You know, as a journalist, it's great because, you know, the clubs, you know, kind of shackle the players in terms of what they can say a lot of the time. So it was really refreshing to see someone come out and say, do you know what? This is what I feel. This is what I think. And just be honest and straight. But also as a football fan, I can see how as a fan of that club, you're pretty peeved with him right now. But then there is no right time to say it. I think he should have said it. He shouldn't have signed no stupid statement apologising. Because if you're going to come out and be man enough, then you have to back your chat. So for me, any respect I had from him for being honest died with that pitiful statement, like you're forging a letter from your mum in school. There was no reason for it. And it just... it shows that everything he said is actually right. That everything he's alluding to about Spurs not being as big a club as other people, because that's basically the undertones of the article. So that statement that they came out with just proved him right. Yeah. It proved that maybe they can't attract a certain type of player. They cannot afford to pay a certain type of player. That they're not held in a certain esteem. I'm sorry, Spurs fans, but you know, if you want to look at trophies over the past few years, even though Liverpool haven't been at their best, they've still been picking up trophies. That's something you can't do. And I think until they're able to do that, there will always be situations like this where we do laugh and we do say how Spursy of them.
Jody, we're going to have a discussion later in the season, a wider discussion about players generally who question their club's ambition, whether that's right or wrong. But if we just focus on Danny Rose, a big part of the article and the interview of what he was saying was basically questioning, if you guys are going to pretend to be on the rise and challenging one of the big trophies, then act like a big club, pay your players like big players to get the big trophies. Was he right to question Spurs' ambition, or should you just shut your mouth, get fit first of all, earn your money and get on with it?
Danny Rose was wrong. And once again, I'll prefix what I'm saying with this. Spurs are currently paying your wages, okay? Whether it's 65 or whatever he's on, you're contracted to Spurs. I'm pretty sure they didn't sanction that interview. So when you come out and you, and I'm really big on respect, and you know, I've spoken about this in regards to Raheem Sterling and all the other idiocies are behind it. Show respect to your club first. And I'm pretty sure he's spoken to them about this before. Maybe nothing's been done, but there are better ways and better avenues for you to express that other than to out your club in that manner. All that's done is just make it a lot more worse. And I'm pretty sure that he's not the only person thinking that way, which is fine. we know this, we expect this, we know this is Spurs. Spurs are a small club. I think their highest paid player is 100k. That's tuppence. I think Jordan Henderson's on that, and I don't even rate him like that. So like at the end of the day, that's tuppence to big clubs, but that's a big deal to Spurs. Right, you're underpaid. He's one of the best left backs in the Premier League. We agree. We understand. We know this, but there are other ways for you to do that.
What is the other way? Because I hear what you're saying. Mm. You don't agree. Obviously, you've got beef with Raheem, which we'll come to, I'm sure, later in the season. But what is the other way? Because if he does it at the end of the season, everyone jumps on him and says, wait, we haven't even opened the transfer window yet. Wait and see what we do. If he does it in the middle of the summer, he gets the same kind of thing, as well as, why aren't you just getting fit? He does it. There is no right time. So if you either do it or you don't.
Okay, so my whole thing is this. When did Danny Rose sign his new contract?
Either top of this year or last year.
I think it was like January, wasn't it?
Danny Rose has said that he's been thinking about this for a while. Mr. Rose, why did you sign that contract knowing that that's how you felt? There's no point. Run the contract down. If you really felt that way, do what Walker did. Walker didn't even come out and say anything. He didn't do none of the extra stuff that Danny Rose did. He's just like, I'm just gonna keep my head down, do what I need to do, and then I'm gonna aggravate for a move, but I'm gonna keep it under wraps. He could have done that. Now Walker's on 150 or whatever it is he's on. Rose could have did the same thing, and he didn't have to sign that contract. If you have every ambition of going to a bigger club, why would you sign it?
But at the time, Spurs weren't on the verge of a second title challenge. So he's seeing it as, we're now becoming a team that's an almost certified top four team that can win titles. Pay your staff accordingly.
People forget there's always little kind of non-committal deals and suggestions of, if you sign this contract at this fee, or like we're talking about release clauses, things like that, or, you know, if we finish here, then we'll look to increase your weekly wage in 3 or 4 months. We don't know what's gone on behind the scenes. I don't think Danny Rose is that stupid. I mean, he spent long enough in Sunderland, so he must take his career seriously, because he went there to play games. So he's got some sense. I don't think he's that stupid for him to come out just off, I'm sitting at home, I'm bored, Love Island's finished, let me go chat to the newspaper. No, there has to be something more behind him for him to feel that he need to jump up and do it like that.
Shall I tell you what I heard? I heard he had a gentleman's agreement that if a decent club came through, they would allow him to go. And I think a club did come through, but they pulled the plug on it.
That's why
he's acting out the way he is. I understand everyone has a right to express themselves and let, you know, everyone know this is how I'm feeling, blah blah blah. There's a certain avenue you can do it. I think there's always a better time, but come on, some of the stuff he was saying was absolutely crazy. Very disrespectful, especially the Google.
Let's
go through it. I've got some of the quotes here from the article.
You're spitting truth stuff. Though, man.
Well, this is the, I want to
remember
find
when
out.
Bell left. Who did you buy?
I want to start with that. So one of the quotes was, I know my worth. He says in the article, I'm very opinionated. I don't have long left in my career. I want to maximize it. I don't want to disrespect anybody. This isn't about demanding a move away. I've got one big contract left. Marcus, this all seems to me of a man who's ambitious. That's a key word in this whole thing for me. You're a working man. Mm. If you're very good at what you do, and another, you know that what you do, you're great at it, but you're not being paid accordingly. Are you out of order to then say to your employer, look, you need to pay me accordingly, otherwise we're going to have problems? I heard that Kyle Walker's on 3 times what he's on. Kyle Walker makes more in tax now than what Danny Rose makes, period.
Out.
Connor Wickham is getting paid more money than Danny Rose.
Lies.
Ouch. Wow.
This is my point, right? This is what he's saying.
Does Connor Wickham even play football anymore?
What Danny Rose is saying, yeah, is 100% true.
It's true.
But
not just true, was he right to say it in the paper? That's the
point. But this is the thing. Is he right to say it? Like, in terms of highlighting the fact that the people running Tottenham are clearly shortchanging, where, because you're still getting the same TV money as everyone else. And yeah, your revenue isn't like the same as maybe like the top five or whatever, yeah, but there's teams below you paying their players way more and not flipping going into financial difficulties and all the rest of it. So what are you doing? You're just hoarding the money yourself. Yeah, these men are all training and playing and doing well for your team. Yeah, you're doing better than a lot of teams, and you can't even give man. Look what happened when Leicester all won the league, bruv. Man's all buying them BMWs and all sorts, all kind of contracts.
Levy's argument would be, win something. My Spurs fans are saying to me, you need to win something before you can talk about getting more money.
That's all well and good, yeah, but then what's the incentive, bruv? Because I can just go to any other team, literally any other team, and get paid more.
And get paid twice as much and never have to worry about winning anything.
When you're saying, was he right to say it, I'm kind of in Jody's boat where it's just like, what's the point? Because all it does is reflect bad on you, because you're going to get negative media attention, because you know all the fans are going to come out at you, and especially when you're
but I'm not sure he has, though.
No, especially when you're not even playing. Yeah, if he was playing.
Yeah, but he's injured. He's not playing because he's been rubbish or because he didn't give his
all. That's what I'm saying.
He's not playing because he was injured and because he probably played when he should have been resting. So really and truly, you can't have a go at him because he's recuperating.
But that's the thing. Now, if it was a case of he tried to get a move and the club messed it up, now I can understand why you're coming out and chatting shit. But if it's a case of, like, you know, you should have just done what Kyle Walker did, bruv. You know that you know your worth, like man's saying. You know you can play for other teams and get paid more, probably better teams.
But unlike Kyle Walker, like I said, I don't think he necessarily wants to move. I just think he wants to get paid what he's worth. I think Walker wants to go.
I guarantee you.
But pay me what I'm worth.
I guarantee you, if Chelsea,
any City, London team,
United, whoever came and said, listen, we want Danny Rose, here's some money, Danny Rose, we'll give you this, we'll give you 120, 130, Danny Rose is gone. He even said it himself. He even said it, if the likes of a Chelsea or United came, I wouldn't have no way of voicing my opinion regarding that. The guy is angling for a move and he's angling for more money.
I take your point about Chelsea came in, he'd probably move. Right. Would he move because he wants to leave Tottenham, or would he move because a club has realised his ambition and what he's worth?
I think the latter of your point. I think I genuinely believe that the reason why he said half of the stuff that he has said is glory related, as in he wants to win stuff, and also financially related as well, which he's also stated. He's not wrong in thinking that way. He's not wrong in expressing that. What he is wrong in is how he's done that, the timing of how he's done that, and also the medium he used. What was it? The Sun?
This is the thing. There is no better timing or any better way. Do you want him to sit in his house and do a Facebook Live?
He could have done it at the latter stages of the season. He could have done it in the beginning of the window. He's left it to two weeks.
He's left it to two weeks.
If he does it at the end of the season, everyone says, wait, the transfer window's not open. You're chatting out of your bridge.
He's given Spurs the whole summer to show him we're serious.
That's correct.
And they've not done anything.
That's correct, but more than likely, if he has expressed that to Levy privately at the end of the season, and 2, 3, 4 weeks, 2 months has gone, nothing's happened, and then he comes out, and I could be like, listen, hey, it is what it is. And he could have done that
That's
beforehand.
What I think it is.
However, I just think leaving it 2 weeks before the end of the window leaves Levy with no breathing. I reckon Levy's just going to do this now.
But you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, the quickest way out of Tottenham is to pee off Daniel Levy.
We'll get to Levy in a second. I want to speak about him as well. But on the point of the timing, many people have said what you've said. The timing is really, really bad on the eve of the season. I think the opposite. I think it's the perfect timing because the Spurs are serious. They're going to have to react now. If you do it at the start of the summer, people would say, well, at least give us a chance to buy some players and bring some players in. He's waited all summer.
Spurs have not bought a player in.
In his mind, he's thinking, I've got a short career. I want to win things.
However, apparently, historically, Spurs don't do their business towards the latter stages of the window.
That's not his problem.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just something that I've just heard that usually happens.
Listen, they sold Spurs.
So,
Kyle Walker and then played a counterfeit Kyle Walker, bruv.
But
for Danny Rose, a lot darker and skinny. Have you seen how short he is? Walker Peters. He's like my height. I'm 5'1".
Hey, but he can play some ball.
He played all right.
I know, but then he's short. And there's Tasha. I looked at him last night when they hugged him. I was watching Match of Day 2. I was like, boy, how short are you? Because you're like, you're shorter than Ericsson.
He's very young.
He's still a kid. He's got some growing to do.
Marcus, how do you think Daniel Levy will respond to this? Because this is interesting now, because if he gives him the big contract, he's seen to then concede. If he doesn't, he's going to then potentially lose. He's another one of the big cogs in his wheel.
I think, like you said, Daniel Levy will dig his heels in. He don't care. Fact of the matter is, you're on the low wage already, yeah? So, like, you ain't costing
four
me
more
no
years,
money.
You know what I mean?
And like you said, bro, like, you need the end of your career. So, you need to move. Daniel Levy's got all the time in the world, bruv. He can get as old as he needs to. He ain't, you know, all that happens is his money goes up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. but what? This comes to the team now, Tasha. What implications could this have on the team? Because it's been reported that the team, as you mentioned earlier on, agree with him. He just said it. If
the fans should, to be honest. Well, the fans should too.
Many of them do. If now, Levy boys off
turn
Rose...
Turn your club into a selling club. Like, at the end of the day, if that's what your players are getting paid, anyone that's good at your team is definitely leaving.
But
guaranteed.
If Levy boys off Rose on this issue here, that might not play well with the likes of Alderweireld, who's the only one of their stars to not lock down a contract. If Alderweireld starts talking up, Lloris starts talking up, they could lose all of their stars within 18 months.
I think...
as Jody and Marcus are fist bumping. And
I think we talk a lot about Pochettino and what a good manager he is and how he's been a good manager in bringing people through. Can he now keep people at a club? I think this is going to be the sign. If he can... If Levy's not going to sell Rose and Rose is not happy and rare, but the fellow players are supporting him, Pochettino needs to make sure that becomes a good camp again. He needs to take away any of the negativity.
And how does it do that if Levy's not paying those guys what they think they're worth?
Well, if I knew how he was doing that, I'd be getting paid what Pochettino's getting paid.
No. How should he do that? Because he can do his job on the pitch, but if the dressing room are all pissed off because they're all getting under 100k when they know they can get double that, there's only so much he can do.
You have to sell him a vision, don't you? That's kind of what you, when you think of managers that have persuaded players to stay for an extra season. I mean, Wenger with Omri, you know, stay one more season. Like with Harry Kane, we all know, I reckon, he'll do one season at the new stadium and then he'll duck out unless they've started winning trophies. You have to sell them this vision. It's like selling them a timeshare. You know, it sounds good in your head. It may not transpire, but make them believe it's going to happen. Make them believe it's worth them taking a 18-month pay cut to reap the rewards in the long run. Whether or not they'll reap those rewards will, you know, can Spurs stay up there and challenge, especially when you look at how Man United have come into this season. If Liverpool actually buy some defenders, how they will look, because their attack is superb. You know, if City start playing like a team as opposed to just 11 individuals, you know, Spurs are in trouble if they don't ensure that they're going out on the pitch and the players are happy.
The elephant in the room that no one's mentioned as well is the stadium they've got to build. That might be the reason why Levy's like, I can't pay you guys the money that you're probably worth. You know, I'm not saying that's right, but that would be his argument.
Arsenal didn't get no sympathy, so Tottenham don't get no sympathy.
Well, there is that. Arsenal had to go through almost the best part of a decade being prudent. Now, that's not the reason why I don't think we're successful. That's a separate thing. But the maths don't add up. If you're paying for a stadium that costs them £600 million, it's going to have an impact on what you spend on your staff.
Lewis is a very... rich, wealthy man. I'll say he's wealthy. The owner of a Spurs.
So you're not having it.
I'm not having it. Look,
not at all.
You know exactly how they operate. You know how Levy operates. You know how Lewis operates. And I can guarantee you, all the arrangements that's been made for the stadium does not put Spurs in any sort of financial jeopardy.
That's what I believe.
So they have the ability to. But Levy has said something really important, and he's talking about, is the way football going in regards to wages and in regards to spending and transfer fees, is it sustainable for
Arsene
clubs?
Arsene Wenger said it 10 years ago, and 15 years
and
ago.
And Levy's saying the same thing. So I understand that. It's all BS.
Mike, they could, saying it too.
But they know. Yeah, but they know, look, we've only just got Harry Kane on 100K. Or was it 120K? Now,
between that, yeah.
Yeah, he's on tuppence. You know, other people, I'm pretty sure other members of the team are like, what? Hold on. So I want this. And he doesn't want that domino effect. And he's seen a domino effect. So
Levy's
seen a domino effect.
So how does he stop that?
I think it's how you see Rose. If you see Rose as that 27-year-old best left back in the Premier League, pay him what he's worth. And also adds incentives to it. Okay, well, we'll give you 95K, and it will give you incentives for us finishing here. Get this for assists, get this for goals, get this as bonuses.
That was my next question. How has Levy managed to get all of these top players on these minor contracts?
Because he's a real businessman. A real businessman where he will squeeze you for literally every penny. So he gets them as nobodies. And what will happen is he'll get them down for a contract for what? 4 or 5 years? A regular contract.
No, but when they sign, yeah. But right. Kane signed a contract last year. He wasn't a nobody last year.
And that's right. But he had no choice but to give Harry Kane what Harry Kane was quote unquote worth. If he didn't, I guarantee you Harry Kane right now would be a Manchester United player.
But he wasn't worth, that's my point. When Harry Kane signed a contract last year for 100 grand a week,
he was definitely worth it. Harry Kane was,
no, I think he's worth more than that.
No, 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 no. Listen to me. Harry Kane is worth within the
Aguero's around the 220k
kind of, but Levy is smart.
Is Levy smart or is everyone else just stupid?
I think everyone's just dumb as hell.
Because listening to you say it like that, I'm like, he's not that smart. He's just not clever.
He's literally had their pants down. He's had their pants down for a while.
What, 6-7 players?
Lloris? Yes, it's very possible.
All these top players. It is very possible
to have players' pants down for a very, very long time. Lloris is the highest paid player at 80 or is it 90K. And obviously, they bumped him up to 100 apparently because obviously Kane's gone up to 100. He's a businessman. And if you give him too much trouble or if you try to give him any sort of hassle, he'll more than likely move you on. But you'll feel it. Like, it won't just be anything easy. Now, you have to understand, he's a businessman first. Profits is what's important to him. Making money is what's important to him.
I get that.
So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their contracts are very incentive and bonus based, where it's, okay, we'll give you this base weekly contract, and in the event that we make top four, we'll give you 250K. Lump sum. On top of that, if we win a trophy, another 500K on top of that. So that if you don't know your worth, which Daniel was saying, he knows his worth. If you don't know your worth, you look at it like, oh, snaps. That's actually pretty decent for someone of my stature. But then when it's come out that Spurs have the best back line, the best defense in the league, you're now thinking that's when they woke up. Before, they didn't know. They didn't know about how talented they are. Now that they understand and know how talented they are, they now want to be paid what they're worth, but it's too late.
But is it too late now, Marcus? Because they're all locked into 4 or 5 year contracts.
Not the defense, boy.
That's why he got them those. I remember there was a stint at
it was like every other week, wasn't it?
Where like new players were just signing new contracts and all
Photoshop
that.
Photoshop Pochettino.
And in my head, I was thinking he's absolutely had their pants down because if they want to leave, it's not going to be really easy, especially if they're on low wages.
But this is the thing, Marcus. I take Jody's point there, but even if they're thick and they're not very intelligent, their agents would have thought, the agent of Danny Rowe, the agent of Kyle Walker, the agent of Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Hugo Lloris, Toby Alderweireld, Moussa Sissoko.
Alderweireld hasn't signed.
He hasn't, sorry, yeah. Their agents would have been like, you guys are worth more than
them
this.
Players,
why would their agents make them sign this contract?
Players might need to have a little look at their agents and see if their man have got any connections with Mr. Levy, you know. Real talk. At the end of the day, if he says to the agent, yeah, boom, I'm going to give these man these contracts to save me this amount of pee, and then you take this side money, why wouldn't the agent do that? They don't care about the players.
I guarantee their agents, they're happy to be
here. One or two maybe, but all their agents do that? Really?
Why not? You don't know how much money he's offering these man.
Yeah,
if I was a player, I'll be, because at the end of the day, it, like you're saying, it's too consistent and the salaries are so far below market rate. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's like, you know, when the man then found out about Polish builders, all of a sudden these men are just doing your whole entire flipping kitchen for a joke.
I think it all comes down to self-worth. I think with a lot of the players up until today, were just very happy to be here. They were just very happy to be at Spurs playing in the Premier League and everything like that until they realised that actually I'm a bit more than Spurs. I can actually play for a really, really, really big club because of my talents. And that's where they're now starting to come out of the woodwork with, we want higher wages. Before, they didn't know what they were worth. Danny Rose didn't know what he was worth until last season. Up until that, he wasn't even looked at as a decent left back. But now that he knows how far he's come, he knows his worth, which has been the theme.
Okay.
They didn't know before, but as time's gone on and they've performed, they now know.
Okay. How do you think the fans will react to Danny Rose when he's back? Because apparently Danny Rose got a round of applause when he returned in for rehab a couple of days ago by the other players. He's not been battered by this. So do you think the fans will be on his side on this one?
I think he's going to catch a bit of a touch, especially the longer it takes Spurs to bring someone else in. I think if they bought two, maybe three players in this period of time or the next 2 weeks, then the fans might start to say, well, you know, he wasn't making sense or he was wrong. But the longer they go without buying someone, the longer they're proving him right. So the fans are going to say, well, do you know what? The more they think about it, do you know what, he was right. Or we bring in someone and we're like, who is that person? Let me jump on Google. You know, that's literally what it's going to take, because we are fickle as football fans, and those little things sit in your mind, and we get on social media and we're like, boy, I don't know who this player is. Let me go on YouTube. Let me go on Google. Like Danny Rose said, then you're going to be supporting
that him. That was the one line in the whole thing I thought where he was wrong, because when Danny Rose signed from Leeds 10 years ago, no one knew who he was.
But that's not what he said.
Man had to Google him.
That's not... He's obviously not talking about Hugo Lloris or even a Dele Alli. He's not talking about them players, and I think it's really...
I think he is, because Dele Alli wasn't known when Dele Alli signed for Spurs.
He'd blown up in England. We were hearing about this young kid at MK Dons who was going to be the future England star. Anyone in football knew who Dele Alli was. He's not talking about them people. We know he's talking about the ones that come in, that sit on the bench, you know... I'm not going to be rude. I had to Google Lucas Perez, but I didn't have to Google Lacazette. That's the levels he's talking about. He's not saying everyone we bring in isn't good enough, and that player, like Song, maybe he didn't know who Song was, but he's come in, he's done a great job. But there are times, if you don't watch every league, you don't know every player. And if they're not in the top five countries or the top five leagues in the world, then we all have to do our research, you know, unless you've got that.
But going back to my first question, is that his job to then question who the team's bringing in? Or should he, as a professional player, get your nut down, get fit first of all, and take us this trophy, and then the rewards will come?
We're always quick to moan when footballers don't have an opinion or don't have nothing to say. When one says something, everyone's quick to jump on his back. So in the fact that he works for that company and he sees a flaw within that company, whether that's me, whether I'm cleaning streets or cleaning tables, if I see the stuff I'm using to clean the table isn't working, it's my responsibility as an employee to draw that to other people's attention to ensure that our company does the best work. So yes, it is his...
It's the dressing room effect as well, man. Like, they always talk about, you know, when you bring in certain big name players and that, sometimes it can have a positive effect on the dressing room, you know what I mean? Like, they're saying that, like at Man U, the effect that Zlatan was having. And when you see your club, you know, sign a big player and then he's performing, it does bring out a better performance sometimes in the other players. And then he's just like, we don't never sign no one, you know. It's like Song Heung-min, you know. It's just
but hang on,
if they do well.
But isn't that a contradiction?
It's just like, why can't we never bring in, why don't we never get the flipping Morata? Where's our Lukaku?
Isn't that the contradiction in what he's saying there? Because the whole way that Pochettino works best is bringing in players you might have to Google and making them better.
Yeah, and then locking them on the man's slave contract, and he's just like, we're all getting conned. Yeah, man, that's why we don't never bring in no big name player, because big name player ain't coming in and kicking balls.
Morata would not have gone to Tottenham for 100k a week.
No, I take the point, but then under these Googled players, they've gone from a top six club to title contenders.
Bruv.
How bad is Son?
How bad are these players, these fringe players he's brought in?
No, was it those players or was it the youth that were finally getting their chance? Because I would say it was more the youth that were already at the club, or people that were already in and around the Premier League, than the ones we didn't know about that got them to where they are. Song didn't get them to where they are. He helped last season, but he didn't get them to where they are. And I can't remember what's the other than that. Janssen. Are we still waiting for like his second Premier League goal?
Go on, final point.
I actually want to ask you this question. So Danny Rose, he said what he said and he's done what he has did here. Do you think he acted alone in this interview? Do you think he had the backing of certain teammates to go ahead and do that interview?
That is a good question.
Very good question.
I don't, because I think the underlying point of the interview is about personal ambition. I don't think he cares what everyone else is getting paid. I don't think he cares what the fans think about the interview. I think he cares about, pay me what I'm worth. I don't care what Son's on. I don't care what Kane's on. That's not my business. I care about, I'm the best left back in the league. I'm getting paid less than left backs at...
He's getting paid less than Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw's on 120k.
Exactly. So that's what... So I don't think he... I think some players would have hid behind other players and thought, yeah, it's all of us. We're all pissed. I think Danny Rose is the sort of person that's like, listen, I'm here one up. I'm telling you straight, I need to get paid. Do you know what I mean? If I'm not going to get paid, at least give me a reason to stay to believe that we're going to win things by signing some players. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think he cared that much, or he did move as a group personally. I think he moved one up. Cool. Interesting, guys. Let's move on now to women's football and Man United in particular. So start with you, Jody, on this one. Do you think Man United should have a women's team? And I must make it clear, United are currently the only football team in the Premier League that don't have a women's team. Southampton have an under-21s team, but not a senior team. But United do not have a professional women's team.
I don't want to sound ignorant on this matter itself. Am I right in believing that they had one previously, and because of structural reasons, they cut the funding for that?
So when the Glazers came in 2005, they got rid of basically a team that was there. Their quote was in an interview, "It's not part of our core business." So,
right.
So they had a team that was there.
It doesn't make us money.
Basically, yeah.
Listen, I mean, it's so sad. And more than likely, United probably get hit by the SJWs anyways. But if you want the women's footballing to actually take off.
No, quantify it.
What, social justice warriors, you know, those kind of people. If you want people to take women's football seriously, we're going to need one of the top brands to help champion it. I mean, it doesn't look good
on United or women's football.
It doesn't look good on both sides. But if they have just came out and justified straight up like they have before that it's not within their business model and all that other, you know, extra stuff, then that's fine. That's their personal decision. But I just think as a brand, we want women's football to take off. We want more people to go to games. We want more people to go to the finals. We want more people to take an interest. If you personally I'd say everyone. I think it's good for everyone. I mean, I have a little girl, and she's already kicking the ball all over the place. If she now turns around and she says she wants to have a career within football, I want to know in my back of my mind that, yeah, she could do 5, 6, 10 seasons as a professional football player and know she's set for life, like these guys are, like Jamie Mackey's over here stealing a living on 80k a week of QPR, whatever he's doing. He's set for life, and he's been set for life for God knows how long. He's out there stealing a living. So how much more women who are just as talented, probably a little bit more savvy from an IQ perspective with football, you know, we want them to get to that level where we look at women's football and think, you know what, this is a good thing. Let's go to the games. Let's you know, sell out the stadiums and so forth.
Okay. We'll widen it out in a second. Right. We want to stick to United.
But if United, who are quote unquote one of the biggest clubs in the world, don't even have a team, it's going to be really hard to champion that to sponsors or champion that to whoever that will be trying to pump money into it. Name brands like Liverpool and like the United and City or whatever help to bring more sponsors and brands into the actual league itself. So it's a good thing for them to do it. But I'm not going to turn around and say they're bad for doing it. It's just clearly what United are all about. They're all about their money. And if it's costing them money, they're not about it. So it is what it is.
Natasha, should Man United have a women's team?
Yes.
Why?
I think it's my issue with it is twofold. I think the Glazers are all about money, and they're showing the fact that they had a team and no longer have one. And in terms of potential talent, Manchester is a hotbed. You know, there's, you know, you catchment areas, that's what they call it, isn't it? So because of where a lot of clubs are placed, Manchester has a lot of young female and male footballers, as we see throughout the years. I think Man U in general, but those that make these decisions have shown a complete disrespect for women's football. And I think it also shows a bit of a disrespect for female football fans, particularly of a certain age.
So let me just put you up on the first point. Why do you think it's disrespectful to women football players if they don't want to have a team?
Because
as Jody said, if that's what
because
they want,
when you started right, Man no? United, when you started Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, it wasn't about money. It was about having a team and playing football. If your primary objective for something is how much money it earns you, then you have no real respect or interest in it, do you?
Why not?
It's just about what it can do for you. That's not respecting how you're earning your money.
But the owners of Man United, that might be their MO. Their thing is, we've bought Man United. We at Man United fans, I don't care about the men's team. I care about what makes me money. And if the women's team don't make me money, that's my prerogative. Is it disrespectful?
Okay, rude, patronising, condescending. I mean, maybe disrespectful was the wrong word. I think what they said, what was that, 12 years ago? Times have changed a lot. I wonder if they've actually looked at the numbers in the past few years, looked at the viewing figures, looked at the attendance figures and things like that to categorically say they wouldn't make money. Because remember, you don't have to invest in a women's team what you do in a men. Man United already have an infrastructure in terms of a stadium, a training ground, all those kind of facilities. They don't need to spend no money on that to have a women's team. It will be the logistics, which, given they're Man United, they could probably go and get, I mean, they've got a pillow sponsor, for Christ's sake. You telling me they can't find a sponsor to cover their costs for a women's team? And I think one of the biggest things that, as an Arsenal fan, because we've had a ladies team for years and we've always been probably the biggest club in the UK. And one of the things you see is the young girls that want to play football, having a women's team in their area or that is a sister team to the men's team gives them that opportunity. It's, I mean, we look around, we moan about kids doing sweet FA and being lazy and things like that. You go down to the little fan days and you see the girls there playing football, girls and boys. It's not a problem. How many little girls may want to go down to a Man United fan day but don't feel they can because it's all boys or it's all masculine? Huh. All that kind of thing that you're taking out of the area. You only have to look at the effect Man City have had in the area since they had the women's team to show what can be achieved.
On that point, Marcus, do you think Manchester United as a company and as a club have a responsibility to female football lovers in that greater Manchester area?
Hold up. Is Daniel Levy paying for a women's football team?
Spurs have a women's football team and have done for years.
They've got no excuse.
And they've paid their fee to get into the WSL.
The other day, yeah, Man United are like one of not one of the richest football teams in one of the richest sports clubs in the world. It was in, I think there was a baseball team, there was an NFL team, then it was Man United. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's no excuse financially, and also like you say, the numbers are going up and all the rest of it. So there's a potential market to make money from. It's like it's extra revenue in the end of the day. Like you said, you can go and get us extra sponsors for that. People will be with, and because of Man United position, they could just immediately become a market leader.
You have to work your way through the league. It's different.
Man United and that's a team. What, they ain't gonna have to work their way through. They ain't gonna have to jump through the same.
So hang on. No, let's cut to it then. Let's assume that the money excuse is an excuse. Let's just say that's just a bit of a lie.
Yeah.
Let's just say they don't want to have a women's football team. We just don't have any interest in women's football.
Then come out and say that.
Okay. Is that if they just genuinely have no interest in having a women's team, is that a bad thing? And does that reflect badly on Man United, or is that still their prerogative?
It's their prerogative, but in today's climate, I think it will start to affect them negatively. Because end of the day, like you're saying, if you got little girls that are, you know, getting into football and they pick teams, the minute they find that Man United do not have a girls' team, what little girl can support Man United really? Do you know what I mean? Even if her dad supports the male team, and that's what she's like initially got her interested in, the minute she finds that out and all the other teams do and all of her friends who support their dad's team got a women's team that they could, you know, dream to play for.
Well, she can go down the road to Man City. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. It's not like there's no other team in Manchester.
So, like you're saying, that in the day, it's their prerogative. I'm of the belief that if you run a business, yeah, then within the confines of the law, obviously, you can run it however you want, right? But the market will judge you accordingly. So say like if and you hear about them people open up a restaurant and they don't want to let gay people in, right? Rather than protesting outside the restaurant and trying to say to people don't go in there, just don't go to there, and then let everyone know that, you know, that's their MO, and then eventually they should go out of business because people that don't agree with them and gay people won't go
there. Is that going to happen with Man United?
I think
a little bit of bad press they can probably handle. They're not going to feel it in their pockets.
Don't be surprised, women have no fury,
you know. But you know what? It's thinking it this way, Jordan.
Don't play games,
like you're talking about. If right, say it's like my granddad was an Arsenal fan. That's what got me into it. So if your dad is a Man United fan and you go to the club and you know there's no feminine fit shirts, as a lot of shops don't have, or you're like, Dad, why don't they have a girls' team? Oh, because they don't want one. or because it's not going to make them money. It's not necessarily about losing money at this moment in time, but you are losing future money, because little Sally Smith or whatever her name is going to think, well, as soon as I'm old enough and I got my bus fare, I'm going down to Man City. So that's a fan that you would have had for the next 55-60 years,
who can have children,
who will have children, who will have grandchildren, and will feed her grandchildren that knowledge. Well, they didn't have a women's team, just in the same way. Even if you think of certain, like you say, businesses that were racist, we've heard stories, and as you go on, that passes down for your generations. So you're losing out on future fans. I understand as a business, it's down to them, it's your choice, but as a club, I think it's really, really disappointed. If you're one of the biggest clubs in the world and you're now suddenly getting involved in equality for all your fans and lack of discrimination, this is another step forward. You can't tell everyone else to be nice to everyone else and then say, well, a women's team doesn't make us money, because then you're saying, well, we only want to be nice to you and we only want to include you if you're getting us a profit. So which is it? I'm not saying they need to go and spend mills, build a new stadium, but there is a possibility that even for an under 16s team, even for an under 13s team, and see how the land lies now, because 12 years ago was not how women's football is now in this country. It's a very different beast.
Finally, Jodie, do you think that being the only club of the 20 in the Premier League to not have a women's team, and the biggest club in the Premier League as well, it's only a matter of time before they cave and they set one up, even if it's through just through peer pressure? What do you think they'll stand for? Does it make money? As you said, they're all about the money. Mm. If they don't see it as a viable business proposition, then we're never going
to
do it.
If they're not forced to, they won't. But how you have to see it this way: they are United are what I like to call people who bend with the times, who, you know, like adapt to the times, and you'd like to think eventually that's something that they would look at. But if there's no pressure for them to, they probably won't. Just like me, if I don't have to do anything, unless I'm pressured to, I'm not going to do anything. So they are worrying about whatever it is that they are worried about doing, unless there is an absolute protest. I won't say protest, but if there's pressure put on them and they are taking hits from a PR perspective, then they might take it a little bit more seriously.
They're increasing the articles. I mean, it's like me and George have spoken about a few times before, and it is getting more press. Like you say, it's not going to damage them.
Do you know what's crazy? What I find crazy is the fact that what people don't seem to understand is, and this just goes through all different walks of life, women spend money, and if you have
and there's more of them,
and there's so many of. Yes,
and when we don't like you, make sure you know there's so many.
And from a PR perspective, if this catches a lot more globally, that are United are seen to be somewhat against, even if that's not the narrative, seem to be against women's football, they could take you have to understand, women are in very high places, and they, you know, are some of the movers and shakers as well. So you have to understand where you're talking about. Female sports, regalia or whatever, make a lot of money, makeup and all that other stuff, make a lot of money. Do you not think that they won't turn around and see articles like this where United refused to have a women's sports team and they won't start applying pressure? Like I said it once again, if I'm an 80, 90 year old man and I'm setting my ways from the 1940s, 1950s, I don't really care.
You know what though? You do, because now you go to watch the women's team, because the tickets are more reasonable, it's a better atmosphere, and you get to chat to the players after. You go to a women's game, it's families. It'll be granddad, nan, mum, dad.
But it might just be playing devil's advocate again. It might not be anything to do with that. It might just be a simple fact of Manchester United as a business and as a club might not think women's football is very good.
Do we think it's both? I have to separate it in the hope that, you know, there's some people in the club with a bit more sense. But then, like we're saying, they don't even have to pay for it themselves. Liverpool ladies have Avon as their shirt sponsor. That's some good business there.
If Man United offered you a job to work for them on a really good contract over 4 years, to travel with the club all over the country, all over the world pre-season, and to write all their blogs, write all their content, would you take it?
Man United
offered you as an in-house writer, journalist for the club,
No. Okay.
Take the bag.
What if it was on a freelance basis? And it was really good rates. Like, nice rates. Got to travel.
Take the bag. take the bag. And
but I can't sell my soul.
Screw that. Effect change from within.
No.
That's what I'll say.
It depends what the role is, doesn't it? I would.
As a journalist. They want you to write for their website.
I've never wanted to be a club journalist, so I would okay, initially
what if
say
was
no.
Freelance.
Then yeah, I probably would take it.
You take it, okay? So you're not that disrespected then?
I always take the bag.
No, but then the I'm bag. Not. If I'm freelance, I can still write about their silly decision not to have a women's team. True. That's the thing. That's why I wouldn't be a club journalist, because I still want to be able to. If I feel like something needs changing or commenting on, I feel that I personally need to be able to say that. And if you work for a club full time, you no. as Danny Rose can tell you.
You're censored, you're right. And final point as well, I think that what I personally think that they will do it because of two reasons. One, I think the England women's national team are on the rise and they're due to win a major tournament in the next 5 to 10 years. So if we've got the women's World Cup winners or the Euro winners, that will make Man United look bad. And secondly, the FA have bidded for the next European Championships in 4 years' time. I think England will get it as well. So if you've got a European Championships in this country, that again, I think that press might not look good on Man United as well. If they're seen as
are we talking the men's?
The women's.
We've got the infrastructure already.
In the women's game.
It's going to be a walkover.
I think that those two combined might put pressure on the biggest club in the country. Right. Natasha, Marcus, Jody, thank you very much for coming on the FFP this week. Don't forget, subscribe via the iTunes library. We're also on SoundCloud. Make sure you tag a friend on Instagram and also Facebook as well. And we are on Twitter as well, FFP_11. Till next week, peace.